Hello and welcome to a mini episode of The Right Question, a radio program and podcast featuring authors from the American West and beyond. The Right Question is supported in part by Humanities Montana and members of Montana Public Radio, and by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. I'm Lauren Korn, and today I wanted to give you a look into The Right Question's 18th season, coming this fall. In this sneak peek, you'll hear Irish author Kevin Barry talking about The Heart in Winter, a novel following young lovers Tom Rourke and Polly Gillespie in Butte, Montana in the 1890s. Here's just a taste of that conversation. This novel is your first set in America, right? It's set in Butte, Montana in the 1890s. Listeners and readers familiar with Butte will find a lot to love in this book. Mentions of the Orphan Girl Mine and the M&M Bar. You call Butte the Black Heart City. Is the Butte that you're writing about a Butte that you acquainted yourself with in real life, or is it hyper-fictional? Is it really born of the Western myths that come out of Montana? Tell me about that relationship for you.
Yeah, like a whole stew of the elements you've mentioned there, for sure. I literally fell into a hole in the ground with this novel in 1999. As I mentioned, I was 29 and I was working as a freelance journalist in Cork City in Ireland. And I had one of those classic 29-year-old good hard conversations with myself. I said, young man, it's time to attend to your prose. You know, it's time to write the novel. So I wrote lots of newspaper features and stuff, and I saved up money, and I had 3 months. I had enough money for 3 months, and I went to the coast of County Cork, a place called the Beara Peninsula, and I was trying to write a novel, and I had nothing. I had no idea what I was going to write a novel about. And I was walking in the mountains there one day, and I came across these old abandoned copper mines. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And I started to research about them. And I learned that they'd played out. The mines had played out in the 1880s, and all the miners en masse had left Ireland and gone to Butte, Montana, because America was being electrified. Butte was suddenly a copper rush town. There were a lot of jobs. There was money to be made, and they all went out there. And I started to research it a little further, and I was amazed by the extent of it. There were in 1891, there were 30,000 people in Butte, and 10,000 of them were from County Cork, in Ireland. And I thought to myself, it's a Western, but it's got County Cork accents. I'm in. You know, this, I can do this Western. So at that point, I said, I've got to go to Butte. And it was my first trip to the US. I flew to Seattle and got on a Greyhound bus for about 14 hours with every glorious maniac in the Pacific Northwest on the bus out to Montana. I had a ball, and I got to Butte, and I had a really great time. I mean, it was Butte, as people will know, is very proud of its Irish heritage. And when you show up in the place with an actual Irish accent, you are very quickly embraced to the bosom of the town. And people were so kind to me, you know. This guy who had never published a word of fiction, just showing up saying, look, I'm writing a novel about this place. What have you got for me? You know, and I got loads. I got so much material. I remember in the library there, they were like bringing out box loads of letters that they had that miners had written back to Ireland in the 1890s. I had all this great material about the brothels and the bars and the opium parlors back in that kind of 1890s heyday, when it was this little sin city high in the Rockies. And I knew it was great material for a novel, but I guess I didn't know how to reduce the material yet.
Why return to the novel, or what was the impetus to your return to the novel now? How many, you know, nearly 30 years, over 30 years later?
What happened was I went back to Ireland after Butte, and I wrote this 120,000 words that was like, it was kind of, I didn't have the characters was what it was. I had great atmosphere. I had great kind of detail and texture for a novel, but I didn't have the people yet. And I kind of forgot about it, and I kind of poignantly pushed it to one side, and I wrote 6 other books. And suddenly we were in the second year of the pandemic in 2021. And I knew I was due to write a new novel. And I was walking here in the forest one day, in County Sligo, where I live now in the northwest of Ireland. And I thought to myself, you know what, if you're in the woods, you're in a Western. All you need is a little bit of imagination. And I just saw them. I saw my characters, Tom and Polly. And there was a couple riding double on a horse. And I thought, if they're riding double, they're on the run. They need to get out of town quick. And I knew them. I had it in a fell swoop. Tom and Polly, runaway lovers, and they're on their way out of Butte, Montana in 1891. And what followed, I wrote the novel in about 10 months that followed that. And it was probably the happiest experience I've had in my writing life. These characters just kind of took it up for me and kind of ran, galloped down the road with it, you know?
It's so interesting that you said it was such a happy writing experience, Kevin, because it was such a happy reading experience. It's such a happy and delirious and romp of a novel. So it makes so much sense that you enjoyed your experience writing it so much. There's an interesting way that you've written through time in this novel. And I can't speak to any like specific anachronisms per se, but some of the dialogue and speech that you've written feels modern in a way. And I was reminded, I don't know if you've ever read Robin McLean's novel, Pity the Beast. It felt a little bit like that. It's also a Western. There's a historical foundation, obviously, to your novel, but the story feels a little bit modern, or if not modern, a little bit timeless. Can you talk about the ways that you decided to navigate history in this story, the time posts and the landmarks, and as you've said, these really, really rich, fascinating characters?
Sure. I mean, I must say, I didn't think about my abandoned Butte, Montana novel for very often at all in the intervening years. But now and again, something would put it to mind. And I remember it must have been about 2005 or 6, the glorious TV show Deadwood started up. And I looked at the way the great David Milch, that show's creator, rendered North Dakota in the 1870s. And I went, that's how I could have done my Butte novel, you know. He used this glorious profane register, a kind of an Elizabethan register, almost Shakespearean. And it's not the way people were speaking in North Dakota in the 1870s, but it felt right. And that's all that matters for a piece of fiction. If it feels right, you can go with it. When I came to the language I was using in The Heart in Winter, I wanted it to feel contemporary, as you suggest. I wanted a freshness to it. So I was trying to use words like dude quite a bit. And that glorious swear word, the MF word that people will be familiar with. But it has to have some basis in reality. And I learned through my research that dude was in common use from the late 1700s as originally it meant a fancy guy, a guy who liked his clothes. But by the 1890s, it was commonly used for dudes generally. In truth, I don't read an awful lot of historical fiction, but I read the good stuff. So I go back to somebody like Hilary Mantel and her great novels about Thomas Cromwell. And even though they're set in the 1600s, the events feel like they could have happened last week. And it's because of the freshness of the language that she employs.
That was a sneak peek into my conversation with novelist Kevin Barry, spotlighting The Heart in Winter, out now from Doubleday, an imprint of Penguin Random House. Join me this fall for brand new episodes of The Right Question, featuring, yes, Kevin Barry, also Chris Latray, Sarah Capdeville, Julia Phillips, Joe Wilkins, Ben Goldfarb, and so many others. Full-length episodes of The Right Question can be heard on MTPR every Thursday at 7 p.m. and every Sunday at 5:30 a.m.